Another spectacular show coming up with Dave the Computer Guy with Tex in the Burg. Dave, good morning. Good to have you here this morning.
Good morning, Ted. Good morning, Fredericksburg.
We've got a lot of great stuff here, Dave. As we'll, in a second, we'll run down some of the things we're going to talk about. But first things first, it is going to be hot over the next few days.
It's going to be a scorcher, and anyone that lived around the D.C. area for any length of time and knows this drill. It's late July. It's going to be hot and humid, close to 100 degrees. And I remember growing up, this weather never bothered me. When I was a teenager in my 20s, working outside, that's not a problem. Now, no way. There's no way I could work 8 hours of construction or as a laborer out in this weather now. I would keel over.
We should say that if you're someone or if you know of neighbors or relatives who don't have air conditioning, check on them because it's going to be dangerously hot.
This can be a dangerous situation with elderly people or if you know someone that's elderly or in poor health, give them a call or knock on the door, see if they're okay. Bring them some ice cold water or something, and it's better than safe. Be safe than sorry.
Exactly, and if you are having air conditioning problems, and you know, hopefully you're not at this point, but go to the mall or go somewhere where you can walk around where you can sit and be in cool weather. Because during the
mall is an excellent suggestion, Ted. They have benches. It's nice and air conditioned and cool, and it's a perfect place if your house, if the AC is broke or you don't have AC and you're starting to get hot, go to any place that has AC that'll let you sit there.
And now it is really dangerous. And we talk about this, but for whether it's cell phones or computers, don't leave things like that out in your car this time in this kind of weather, because you can lose it. It's so hot.
Yes. In this type of weather, if it's 95 or 100 degrees outside, inside a vehicle with the windows rolled up, it easily could be 140 plus degrees. That is really, really bad for electronics. Do not leave your cell phone or laptops in your vehicle. You should never do it anyway, if at all possible. But in this type of weather, absolutely not. Heat is one of the worst things for electronics. 145 degrees, that is simply baking them.
I was just going to say, I can envision the scenario where I leave my laptop in the car and run in for maybe even a half hour in the store and come back out, come home, plug my laptop in, and I've got nothing.
That's a possibility. In this type of heat, once you turn the car off, there's no running AC, the windows are rolled up, that car is going to heat up really, really fast, well over 100 degrees within a few minutes, and probably over 110, 120 degrees within 15 or 20 minutes. And don't leave it in. If at all possible, leave it at home. Put it somewhere, anywhere safe, but not out in a vehicle.
Now, because like you say, the components in your cell phone or in your laptop, they're just not made to withstand that heat. A lot of things can't withstand that heat.
No, and beyond that, there's a possibility of severe weather today and actually the next 2 or 3 days with all this heat and humidity. If you're not using your laptop or cell phone, unplug it from the charger. The other day, two nights ago, they were calling for thunderstorms around here. There was nothing. All of a sudden, a red blob just developed right over and right east of Fredericksburg. It didn't move in. It just developed right on top of us. A lot of lightning. There's very, very electrical component to that storm. And that just came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
So if you're in on days like this, if you're not using your laptop or your cell phone, and you're not around it, unplug it from the charger.
You do a lot with servers, with businesses too. I would think that if with it so hot and with servers that generally run and can get warm, that you might want to put a fan or something on just to make sure that your servers are okay too.
Yes, you want to keep anything like a server somewhere around 65, 68, okay. 70 degrees. You don't want it any hotter than that. I remember 25 years ago working in some IT departments in Northern Virginia. We'd have a server room, basically. It's a large room that has its own AC system. There's no heating system in it. They generate their own heat. But the cooling systems these server rooms have are very, very stout. They can cost anywhere $100,000, $200,000, $300,000, $400,000 for the cooling system for these small server rooms. And if they break, it's an all points bulletin. Everyone in the IT department's working on it, and the AC people, it's as important as it gets in IT.
Mm. Yeah, and this heat just can't be good. And like you say, we always talk about these storms that come up, and just if you can, unplug your laptop or turn your computers off in these storms, because that can be a big problem.
Yes, and with laptops, it's so easy to do. With PCs, it can be a little bit more problematic. You might have to move a desk out of the way or crawl on the floor behind the desk. I can understand a lot of people not going to extremes to unplug a computer, but with a laptop, just pull the power cord out of it, and then it's safe. As long as it's plugged in, if something happens and there's a lightning strike nearby, it could zap it. So just unplug the power.
Dave, the computer guy here this morning, before we take a break, leading up to it, we often talk about Best in the Berg. And again, congratulations to Tex in the Berg as a Best in the Berg winner. But today, we're coming up on an important date.
Yes, the deadline's coming. I think it's tomorrow at noon for any of the businesses around Fredericksburg that participated and won Best of the Berg. It's the last chance to order any memorabilia, any plaques, stickers, anything like that for that competition. So you want to contact your sales agent. And if you want these, you've got to do it by tomorrow. And so just wanted to make sure that everyone knew that.
Dave, the computer guy, Tex in the Berg, our focus this morning. You've got a lot of good topics we're going to talk about this morning, Dave.
Yep, some PC upgrades, when's it time for a new PC, recycling, and unbelievably, back to school sales.
More coming up with Dave the Computer Guy, Tex in the Berg. We'll be right back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
It's Dave the Computer Guy with Tex in the Berg with us this morning. Dave, we often talk about tuning up our car, but you don't think about tuning up your PC, but it sounds like it would be something that we need to do, would be necessary.
The similarities are pretty stark, and with laptops and PCs, they need regular maintenance, regular tune-ups, just like a vehicle.
Yeah,
you can just like a vehicle. You could with a car, you can just drive it and drive it and drive it and go, well, it's still running okay. I don't need to take it into the shop, and then the engine seizes up, and the mechanic's like, well, you didn't change the oil for a year and a half, and now there is no oil, and you need a new engine. It's usually not that bad with a computer, but over time, temp files build up, spyware, viruses, and junk get on the computer, and they just need some routine maintenance. Some of this, a user with some tech savvy can do it themselves, and the Windows has some features that allow for this. On a laptop or a PC with an older mechanical hard drive, which there's still plenty around, you want to make sure that you have the disk defragmenter enabled on it. So it's going to automatically defrag the disk every week or so. And also there's a feature in Windows 10 called Storage Sense. You want to make sure that's enabled, and it will delete temp files and make sure that the hard drive doesn't fill up. It'll get rid of old cached Windows update files and just things that you don't need to help keep the hard drive clean and running smoothly.
So did you say that's called storage sets and it should be enabled?
Yes. Yep, you can enable that. And I recommend this for a little bit more tech-savvy people. Sometimes if people, you know, if they don't really understand the computer, they just browse the web, you might want to talk to a tech support person before you do anything. But especially all the kids growing up and everything, they know more about this than almost anyone. They grew up with this technology.
Yeah.
Enable storage sense, that can help a lot and make sure if it's a conventional style drive that disk defragmenter is enabled.
Yeah, I can remember doing the defrag years ago, and I'll have to go check and make sure mine is enabled. I just haven't thought about that in years, but it was always interesting doing that and seeing how it moved files around and just what your disk looks like.
And with the old style mechanical hard drives, it can make a tremendous amount of difference.
Yeah.
I use some aftermarket disk defrag tools for a conventional old style hard drives, and it is amazing how it can speed a computer up. If you take a hard drive that's badly fragmented and run one of these programs on it, and it's like night and day how fast the computer will be.
And like you say, we don't think about these kinds of things. I know different times when I've had to bring my computer into you, I'll just say to you, and I'll ask you to do this kind of thing, and you'll tell me that you'll get the air and you'll clean things out, and I can notice a difference when you do these kinds of things.
It's a big difference if you clean up the temp files, defrag the hard drive if it's an old hard drive, and remove, and there's a lot of free programs that are really good too as far as removing temp files. Storage Sense is a feature built into Windows 10 and 11, but there's a CCleaner available. It's a free program that you can download, really good for removing temp files. Malwarebytes is another program you can use for free. And what I would do is download each, run each, and then remove them. They're free programs,
yeah,
unless you want to buy them, and they have a little bit, few more features. I would save the money, just use them, remove them, and you'd be shocked how fast your computer is just running the cleaner, CCleaner, and Malwarebytes. And they're free and very, very helpful.
I'm taking all kinds of notes here, Dave, because this is good stuff. And how often should you do this kind of thing?
CCleaner and Malwarebytes at least once every 6 months.
Okay.
Yeah, and once you get used to it, you could do it more and more. And CCleaner has other features. You just want to clean up temp files. You don't want to mess with the registry or startup programs or anything like that. Not unless you have some tech experience. Just clean up the temp files. And with Malwarebytes, there's pretty much that's all it'll allow you to do. And both really, really good programs, and for free, you can't beat them.
Yeah, and like you say, if you don't feel comfortable about this, to take it to someplace like Texenberg, and you'll give it a look through and go through everything.
Yes, and I tell people, especially residential users, bring it to us, bring it to any tech support company that you like, wherever you live, and usually at least once a year. Give it a tune-up. It's the equivalent of rotating the tires and changing the oil and everything of a car. And once a year,
yeah,
I don't think is too much to ask. It's, inconvenient. Might have to do without your computer for a day or so. But it can make a big difference in the enjoyment and lack of frustration using your computer. It's surprising that we get, as a computer slows down, we get used to it being slowing down. It's sort of gradual, like
uh-huh,
a frog warming up,
yep,
in water. We don't realize how slow the computer has gotten. Then when it's been tuned up and it's fast again, you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe how fast this is.
Yes.
I was using it all this time and yelling and screaming and everything, and I could have had it fixed, and oh gosh. So yeah, bring them in usually at least once a year for a tune-up, and you'll be a much happier computer user.
That explains too, because usually when I'll bring it in, you'll say to me, you'll ask me, has it been tuned up? And you'll say, well, we'll go through it and see. And you're right, you do kind of settle for a lot of things, and once you get rid of these temporary files and other things, it just speeds it all right up.
Yeah, because you're using a computer and it's not fast and well. Maybe the internet's slow, or this is just an old tired computer, or it may just need a good tune-up, and that can make all the difference.
Yeah. Dave, the computer guy here, Techs in the Burg, techsintheburg.com. Check out the website. All kinds of great information there on Facebook too. As far as PC upgrades, what's going on in the PC upgrade world?
This is another thing with everything being so expensive. And if you have a PC that's not too old, it's, let's say, 3-4 years old, and it seems slow even after a tune-up, with updates in Windows and added programs and data on the computer, you might need more memory. That's a relatively inexpensive thing to upgrade memory in a laptop or a PC. You should have a minimum of 8 gigs. If you have a lot of Windows open, a lot of Word documents, Excel documents, Google Chrome or Microsoft Edge, web browsing, like 20 or 30 Windows open, you might want to add another chip and bring it from 8 to 16 gigs.
Okay.
That can be extraordinarily helpful. And because with 8 gigs, with Windows 10 or 11, and you have some Windows open, it's going to be getting up to 6 or 7 gigs of memory being used all the time. That can start bottlenecking the computer. Bring it up to 16 gigs of memory, and it'll open it up, and it'll be much, much faster. And it's, for the most part, $20 or $40 to do that.
I was going to say that to do that, the price when you make some of those switches just really isn't all that much, especially, I mean, you get especially the bang for the buck kind of thing.
Yes, and if you have a little tech experience, or you know, a tech-savvy user, a lot of these people can do this themselves. The memory chips are not that expensive. And another thing that can be very, very helpful is if you have a computer that's a little bit older and has a conventional mechanical hard drive, get a solid-state drive. And you've seen the difference in this.
Oh.
Upgrade from a conventional hard drive to a solid-state hard drive.
Yep.
Like 10 or 12 times faster. It's a whole new computer almost.
Yeah, when you did that for my computer, I was just blown away. I brought you my other computer and said, "Do it on this one too."
Yep, and it's not that expensive. The price of these solid state drives has really come down. Years ago, when these first came out, they were extraordinarily expensive, like $1,000 or $1,500 for a small solid state drive. Now they're $50 or $100 or whatever. So the prices have really, really come down, and it's changed the PC market dramatically as far as speed.
Here's a question. It's hard to say. I don't know that we've ever talked about this. I have a feeling if you were to walk behind me sometime when I have with my computer, you would look at all the windows I have open and would say, "Ted, why do you have all those windows open?" Is that good for a computer? Can that... Is it good to have so many windows open? Because I know I have too many open.
Well, most people do. I have people that are complaining that their web browsing is slowing down or whatever, and I'll get on their computer and they'll have 38 Google Chrome windows open at the same time. I'm like, well, this is part of it. You might need a tune-up, might need to dump some temp files or something, some browser files. But having 30 or 40 or 50 web browsing windows open at the same time is definitely going to slow the computer down.
Okay, that answers that. I've often thought that I'll look at all these windows, and besides it just being confusing, it can sometimes get it gets confusing and slows the computer down. And when you close them,
we have what I would call sort of power users, some attorneys and accountants that'll have 20 or 30 Word documents open or Excel documents open, plus a ton of web browsing windows open. And I try to get them to close them towards the end of the day. And once every 2 or 3 days, reboot, close everything and reboot your computer, clean out the memory.
Yeah.
Because if you have a computer and you keep all this stuff open 24 hours a day on that computer, it's really going to bog it down.
Dave, the computer guy, with us this morning. He's with Tex in the Burg, 505 Lafayette Boulevard. We'll hear the train probably at some point this morning during the show. TexintheBurg.com, the website to find out all that they do. TexintheBurg.com. Dave, the computer guy here. We'll take a quick break and come back and talk about planned obsolescence and some other things. On News Talk 1230 WFVA, we're coming up on 8:30.
From the Fredericksburg.today online news studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting station focused on Fredericksburg. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
It is Dave, the computer guy, with us this morning. Tex in the Burg, TexintheBurg.com. And great show this morning with a lot of issues that we all are dealing with. One of the things, and I'm always wondering, especially because one of my laptops is probably running on 5 years old now. When do I think about, and when is it time for a new PC, Dave?
Well, Microsoft is going to force our hands soon enough on that, Ted. Windows 10 is going away in just over 2 years. The end of life is coming for it, and it's going to be retired. And if you have a computer that's Intel-based, an Intel CPU, if it's older than 4 or 5 years, there's a good chance it's going to have to be replaced in the next year or two. And at that point, with Windows 10 being retired, that's the sort of the planned obsolescence. Microsoft is forcing our hand on this.
Yeah,
they become a little bit more stringent as far as CPUs, what they're going to allow to be used with Windows 11. So if your computer is older than 4 or 5 years now, you need to start planning on a new computer in the next year and a half.
I remember Windows 10 and downloading it and going through all of that. How long have we had that?
That came out I think it was around 2015, because when this is retired, I think it'll be around 10 years of lifespan in Windows 10, right around that, unless I'm mistaken off the top of my head. I think it's 10 years.
Mm. Yeah, when these things, this always causes me a little bit of stress, because it's that newness of a new operating system, because there are always some kind of changes.
Yes, there's some change, and some have been really bad. When Windows 7 was out, everyone got used to it. It was a good, relatively stable operating system. Then they came out with Windows 8, which was a disaster, an utter disaster. And someone is beeping the horn outside.
I hear that. Live radio. You never know.
One of my neighbors here. Windows 8 was a disaster, and they had to end up redoing it in Windows 8.1 to get some menus and everything back. But no one likes change. And especially with Microsoft Office, everyone was used to one version of Office, and they upgraded it, and they were like, what are all these menus? What is this stuff? I don't want this. But yeah, change is tough sometimes. Windows 11, I think, has gone over pretty well. It's not too different from Windows 10. So that's not a big deal, I think, for most people. It seems it's been doing pretty well. It's pretty stable and fast. So it shouldn't be too big of a deal for most people to upgrade to Windows 11 or either upgrade their operating system or buy a Windows 11-based computer. But that's where we're headed because Windows 10 is going to be retired soon enough.
Well, that's good to know because I had not heard that. And when things start going wrong with your computer, instead of trying to just, you know, kind of nurse it along, you knowing that in the back of your head, you know, maybe you make that, you look for a deal and you maybe even get a computer a little earlier than you might want to just because you know you're going to have to make that change.
Yes, and lately we've been selling a lot of refurbished Dells, 14-inch Dell Latitudes. They're off lease. They're about 3 or 4 years old, but they have a CPU that will work with Windows 11. So in 2 years, they're not going to be instantly obsolete.
Okay.
And they're very inexpensive. They're about $350-ish or whatever, and new, they're closer to $1,500. And it's a good alternative for students and just people that don't want to spend an arm and a leg and you know, don't want to have their PC become obsolete in the next year or two.
Yeah, so it's a good thing to look at too. But yeah, I had not heard this, and so I'm sure over the next few years, where you'll bring this up and we will talk about it. But it is coming, and.
And it's going to come fast. We're talking, you know, 2 years, or just over 2 years till it happens. Next thing we know, that time's gone, and we're like, we need a new computer. And you're searching for a new computer. There's going to be a lot of people that don't want to do this. Their computers will be running fine. They like Windows 10. And then it's going to be retired, and they'll just be screaming at the top of their lungs.
Because when they do retire it, I mean, they mean it, and you open yourself up to being vulnerable to things. So you do have to take this seriously.
That's the problem, Ted, because when they retire it, there's no more security patches, updates, fixes, and it becomes every day after that, it becomes more vulnerable to hacking, and the criminals will find. As they find more vulnerabilities, there are no patches to fix these. And so especially if you do online banking, stock trading or something, yes, that is the time you've got to upgrade to Windows 11.
Are there little warning signs when we talk about replacing a computer? Because I've been guilty of this. Of where my computer will shut down or I start having these little problems and I ignore them and then something catastrophic happens and I'm bringing it to you to try to fix where when I had seen some of these things earlier, I could have, you know, headed them off.
Well, sometimes it depends on what the symptoms are. One of the worst things for a computer is heat and debris, dust, dirt.
Yeah.
Food crumbs, everything can get in laptops and start clogging the fans and vents, and it'll start heating up. And a lot of sometimes people will have a laptop and they'll put it on a blanket or a towel or something. You want to make sure that the bottom and the back of it and sides are always open and clear.
Yeah.
Not set it on any fabric. Make sure it doesn't overheat. That will dramatically decrease the lifespan of the computer. And some of the things that we see a lot are broken, physically broken things. Broken hinges are one of the worst things that can happen. If the plastic case has been broken and the metal hinges are broke, it costs a small fortune to fix. Depending on how expensive the computer was when it was bought new and how old it is, a lot of times it's simply not worth it. I tell people, cut your losses, buy something else now.
Yep.
This computer is out of warranty. It's going to cost more to fix than it's worth. Put that money towards something else that you'll have a new computer and be under warranty.
Dave, the computer guy here again. Windows 10 retired in October of 2025, and like you say, the way every year seems to go by so fast, that's going to be here before we know it.
Oh yes, when I talk, 26 months, that's a long ways away.
Yeah.
In some ways, it's a very long ways away. In other ways, no. It's going to be knocking on our door much, much quicker than we ever imagined. And time just flies.
Yeah. Yeah. No, thanks for the update and just the kind of the heads up on that. And we'll continue to follow that. So talk to us about the difference between resetting a computer and restoring a PC, because we talk about those terms, but they are two very different terms.
Yes. And Windows has several features that allow people to help troubleshoot and fix their computers when they're having some issues. And System Restore basically is a feature that is disabled by default, but you can enable it, and it will create restore points or snapshots of a computer, all the software and the registry, everything on the computer except for files. It really doesn't mess with or change your documents, pictures, music, those type of things. Mm-hmm. But just the programs themselves. So let's say you have a computer that got a virus or that a Microsoft update was installed on it, and all of a sudden it just goes awry. Something is wrong. It's just not working right. You can open up, you can type in at the search bar at the bottom, System Restore. You can pull it up, see when the last restore point was created, maybe a week ago, 2 weeks ago, before whatever event recently occurred, and restore the computer back to that point in time, and that a lot of times will fix everything. And it can be a very, very helpful feature inside of Windows, and to get a computer that's misbehaving to behave again.
Yeah.
And that System Restore. Reset is another, a little bit more drastic feature of Windows, where if something happens to Windows, it's really messed up. You can restore Windows to its factory defaults. It will be like it just came, you just took it out of the box, so to speak. You can do that and delete all your files and your user account, or you can save your user account and your documents, pictures, and music. But it will remove any programs that were installed after you owned it. So it's going to be basically Windows with whatever programs that came in out of the box.
Yeah.
And your files. But it can, if that works, sometimes the computer's so messed up, that doesn't work. But if it does work, then you basically have a brand new computer again with all your files on it.
Okay, boy, both of those are two things that when you get in a situation, can give you some hope.
Oh, yes, and System Restore can be a really, really big lifesaver for people. We've had so many people they were working on an exam paper at Mary Washington College, mm-hmm. or University of Mary Washington, and they have a deadline. Something happened to the computer. Do a System Restore. It's back up and working. Their documents right there. Within an hour, they're back up and working because of System Restore. And it's not the end all be all to troubleshooting and fixing things, but it can be a really, really important feature.
While we talk about these two features and how great they are, it doesn't negate though that having a recovery disk and creating a recovery disk, because I know that's sometimes what you need.
Yes, and System Restore is good. File history is really good. And file history is another free thing with that's built into Windows 10 and 11 for backups. It basically, the file history will create a you can create a backup on a flash drive or external hard drive that'll copy all your documents, music, pictures, etc., over to that. And anytime there's one of the documents is updated, it will create an updated version on the backup of that. It's free. All you need is, a flash drive or an external hard drive hooked up.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing for a lot of people. But you can also create a disk image. When you're in there in the file history, in the bottom left-hand corner, you can create a system image. That is a backup of everything on the computer, the programs, everything, all your data, all your programs. Occasionally, that is a good thing to do. If you have a computer that has a lot of specialized software, you have Microsoft Office, AutoCAD, Adobe Photoshop, anything, you know, a bunch of programs, you can do a create a system disk. It's an image that if the hard drive failed, if anything happened, and it was a disaster, you could use that image and get your computer back up and working fairly quickly with a new hard drive or hardware, and you won't lose anything. And so occasionally, depending on how important these programs are to you, it would be a very good thing to once every few months run that.
Oh yeah, just because it'll let you do this. So you just put it on a flash drive? Is that the way you do it?
You could, depending on how much stuff is on your computer,
right,
how big the hard drive is and how full it is. You could get a big flash drive, preferably an external hard drive. They're so inexpensive and so large. They start at like 1 terabyte, but you know, you can get a 5 terabyte for $100 or something. And so one of those would suffice in almost any circumstance. And you could, between the file history and the disk image, you'd be safe. You could get your computer back up and working relatively quickly and not lose anything.
Boy, these are all good tips. And you really can't afford not to do it, especially if you've got some programs that you don't want to lose. If something happens.
A lot of times people will get a computer and then customize it. You know, they'll have all kinds of games and software on it and everything. And it would take forever to recreate all that. Do it once you get everything installed on the computer, make an image of it. And if anything happens, you're good to go. Within an hour or two after you're getting the hardware straightened out, just put the image back on and everything's there.
Dave, the computer guy here, Tex in the Berg, texintheberg.com to find out more information. We'll take one final break and conclude this morning. We'll talk about recycling electronics and some back-to-school sales on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Download the all-new News Talk 1230 WFVA app for Apple and Android. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
It is Dave the Computer Guy in this morning with Tex in the Berg. Texintheberg.com is the website. They're at 505 Lafayette Boulevard. Check them out, texintheberg.com. As far as recycling, we're hearing more and more about this kind of thing. When you get something new or you're upgrading or whatever, talk about the importance of recycling electronics, Dave.
Yes, the key is, Ted, that all this electronic waste doesn't end up in the dump. There's literally billions of phones and computers, and as they're replaced, the electrical components need to be properly recycled. It's a tremendous problem that the world is facing with the storage and the amount of trash created by used electronics, you know, being retired. And recycling is really, really important. And there's a new recycling center. Well, it's not new, but they have a new electronics recycling building at the Bellman Center off of Blue Gray Parkway. And they take all electronics except for TVs and the old cathode ray tube monitors, but laptops, PCs, you want to recycle them. But before you do that, make sure you take your hard drives out.
Okay.
And if you don't know how to do that, bring it to a tech support company, us or whoever, and have your hard drive removed, and you just put that in a dresser drawer or something. They're very small. You don't want those floating around somewhere. But then make sure that your laptop and or PC and printers are recycled. Do not throw them in the trash can.
That's a good reminder, because I think sometimes we don't even think and we do that. And like you say, that a lot of that going into the landfill is not good.
It's one of the biggest problems we have. The amount of e-waste, electronic waste, that is being created in this world. It's overwhelming all the landfills. And when people do throw this stuff in the trash and it ends up in the dump, all kinds of chemicals leach into the ground and get in the groundwater. It's a horrible situation. It's not that hard to recycle. It can be inconvenient, but the cost of not doing that is a lot more inconvenient.
Just a couple of minutes left. Talk to us. I know this is back to school and sales time, and things that you're watching or we should be looking for, Dave.
Yeah, with all the kids getting ready to go back to school, it seems strange to me even talking about this now. You talk about how time flies. It just like yesterday was springtime. Now the kids are, there's back to school sales and everything. When thinking about what a student needs, whether they're a middle school, high school, or a college student, there's a lot of different options and alternatives. Some school districts, middle schools and high schools, they have their own specifications, what they need, what the kids need for computers. So you definitely want to take into account any guidelines that the schools have. But for like a college student, or if you're at a place that you can have a Windows laptop, you don't need a Chromebook or something, I would get the least expensive thing that'll do the job. These laptops are going to get beat up, carried around in backpacks, they're going to be dropped, and I would cringe at the thought of having a kid with a $2,000 or $3,000 MacBook Pro or something, and it's going to get all beat up and dropped. And I would get a $300 or $400 laptop that will do the job. If it gets broke or run over in the parking lot, it does. It's you're at $300 or $400 instead of $2,000 or $3,000. And you just want something that will do the job and last. It's not a piece of junk, but not break the bank. And Staples right now, they have an Asus 15.6-inch laptop that's on sale. It's regularly $500. It's on sale for $299. It's a nice laptop, i3 processor, 8 gigs of memory, 256 gig solid state drive. For $299, that is going to be that would suffice with most college students, unless they're into architecture or AutoCAD or something. They have to increase some of the memory, but that's going to be fine for 90% of college students. You don't break the bank for $300. You get a real nice laptop.
Dave, the computer guy, TexinTheBurg, TexinTheBurg.com. Dave, as always, thank you so much. We'll see you next month.
Thank you, Ted. Thank you, Frederick.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA, focused on Fredericksburg.